Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of a national multifamily industry rundown. Joining me by phone, I'm happy to say, is a longtime multifamily industry leader, the insightful Bob Pinneger, the president and CEO of the National Apartment Association. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you for having me on, Paul.
No, it's my pleasure. Always good to have you on. And a lot's been going on in the last year and even prior to that with coming out of the pandemic situation. So why don't we just start at the top, at the highest level? What are the headwinds and the tailwinds that you expect the industry to face this year?
Been quite a roller coaster ride, and I'm not sure when it's going to be done. You know, I think that, and everybody's talking in terms of headwinds and tailwinds. I think the headwinds, we all know, slowing economy, increasing vacancy rate. We have record delivery of new product on the horizon, and we also have increasing operational costs. So those are really things that go directly to NOI and so many aspects of the industry. But on the other side, from the standpoint of tailwinds, we continue to have an increased demand for housing just from the supply-demand ratios. While this is a short-term phenomenon where we're going to see a reduction in new household formation, it's not something that's going to last, you know, as we've had in past recessions where things have gone on and on for years. At the beginning of this, as interest rates were starting to go up, all the economic talking heads, which I spend more time listening to than I should, they were all talking about soft landing. Then it's a hard landing. Now we're back to the soft landing again. So I think that it's still an evolving space that we're looking at. There was a video on the Wall Street Journal yesterday, and it was looking at the Fed Futures Fund, and it was a little video that laid out where the futures that are traded in Chicago, where people think they're going to be. And if you really look at it, only 2% of the people that are bidding in that fund think we're going to continue to have the same level of interest rates when we get to the end of this year. In fact, 55% of them, based on where they were buying their futures, were looking at somewhere between 4% and 4.5% as far as where they think the interest rate will be. But then you listen to the Fed chair, and it's all doom and gloom. So I think we still have a while before we see the clear path forward. But I think that from the standpoint of the industry and what we're thinking about and what we're planning for, the period of time that we were in before the economic results of COVID was really an abnormal time. The low interest rates, I mean very, very low interest rates, those are probably not a place we're going to go back to. So we're going to be going back to a more normal pattern, which is what we had before the Great Recession. So interest rates are going to be higher, yes, but it's still going to be, I think, an environment where the industry is going to be able to navigate and operate.
All right. I mean, that certainly is something that is, I know everybody wants to keep an eye on with interest rates changing. But let me ask this question. For those who aren't involved in legislative updates, and NAA does a great job of dealing with the legislative initiatives on behalf of the industry, what should we all know about what's going on legislatively with the affordable housing crisis?
Well, you know, we went into COVID and the pandemic with a national affordable housing crisis. I think there were some things that occurred during the period of time. We had some good things that occurred with monies that were available for residents that couldn't pay their rent, although it was not a perfect system by far. We all know that. But I think we have had some things that have exacerbated the market. And we had, you know, 2 years of household formation that was bottled up. Plus, if you think about it, in the roommate situations. You may have had a roommate that you were living with because it made economic sense, but after spending $724 with them for a year, year and a half, those people wanted to go out and get their own apartment as well. Which I think all that added to just the fever we saw in the market. So I think that has really exasperated policymakers trying to look for short-term solutions when really long-term we need more supply. One of the things that came out everybody has seen is the White House has put out the Resident Bill of Rights, which has a whole set of policies that they're now pushing down through the various federal agencies. And so I think for a period of years, the industry is going to be in a whack-a-mole situation trying to address all of these various policy concerns as they come forward. But really, we should be spending our time on getting more incentives out there to build more rental housing so we can take care of this supply-demand imbalance that we have.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been the issue. On the renting side, what do you expect renters to see, or do you expect the renters to see any kind of a reprieve in affordability this coming year?
Well, I think we're going to continue to see some rent growth. There were a couple of different forecasts that were put out at the end of last year, coming into this year, and some of them have been revised. It seems like we're seeing sort of a coalition. They're coming in all around, somewhere around 2.5 to maybe 2.6% is the projected rent growth. Now, granted, they're looking at that over the entire year, so we may have some months that are lower that don't have that rent growth. Some months that may have higher rent growth. But they're looking at that as to where the year ends. But from the standpoint of the renter, I mean, we have slowing household formation. We have the new supply that's coming online. And I think that is going to result in a slower increase in rent. If you look at where this across the country, where this new product is coming into the market, I was at a conference, and one of the people was pointing out that 42% of the new product that's coming online this year is going to be in the top 10 metro markets around the country. The rest of it's going to be dispersed over the country, all around the country, which does suggest that it's going to be a market-by-market situation, which is so often the case in our industry. The person also pointed out in those 10 metro markets, those are also the 10 best economic engines we have for creating jobs. And so I think that even with the new product coming to market, there will be a stabilization relatively quickly after they're introduced.
Okay. We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, but I know that NAA and NMHC released an update recently about the apartment design from the research last year. What should our listeners know about that?
Well, the updated research shows we still need 3.4 million apartment units by 2035 just to maintain the current supply-demand ratios that we're sitting in. So it's not new information. It's not surprising information. I think we've made some headway in some areas, but we continue to work and move forward. I thought one of the interesting things from the report was if you look at the 2008 financial crisis, that's really, and the slowdown that occurred as a result of that, that's really accountable for almost 600,000 units of that deficit that is needed. And so it really does show how this industry and the supply line of new apartments coming in is so subjective to the economic cycles that we have.
Okay, about 2 minutes left. One more question I want to ask you before we take a break is, on the policy side, what are some of NAA's main priorities as far as legislative issues and initiatives this year?
Well, I think one of the mainstays is we're looking for carrots, not sticks, as we move forward. So we're working on reforming the HUD Section 8 program to make it much more user-friendly and have that be more consistent across the country. We're working on incentives with local governments to lower barriers to new supply coming in, and we're also working to end the 30-day notice provision that was in the CARES Act that was passed by Congress during the pandemic, and that continues to be an agenda for us. So those are some of the high-level things that we're working on.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and break here. We will be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we are discussing the topic of a national multifamily industry rundown. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry leader, the very insightful Bob Pinneger, the president and CEO of the National Apartment Association. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestion, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Bob, we covered a lot in the first segment. One thing that I wanted to touch on, but we didn't get a chance to, is the NIMBYism, not in my backyard, that people have come across during affordable housing issues. So I know it continues to be one of multifamily's biggest legislative fights. Are we winning?
We have had some bright spots on the horizon, things that have happened. I mean, you know, we've been really working to cultivate the Yes in My Backyard group, which are primarily younger people who are looking at when will they be able to, at some point, be able to live where they work and want to have that sort of not on the road lifestyle. And so we've had some success. I mean, in this year's federal funding package, there was $85 million established for a competitive grant program that really awards state and local governments for improving their zoning laws to be able to accommodate more housing. And, you know, it's not a huge amount of money. Everybody always wants more for this, but we managed to get it through the process, and we'll be able to soon show the success of our labor, and then we'll be able to really show how we've been able to move the needle. I think that will be an incentive going forward because, let's face it, we need carrots, not sticks, to be successful. You know, some things going on out in California where they passed some legislation regarding parking minimums to reduce those. They have the Middle Class Housing Act, which makes housing development an allowable use for a parcel zoned for office or retail parking. So you don't need to go through the entitlement process to change use. There's the Affordable Housing and High Roads Job Act, which simplifies the process in reducing barriers to multifamily development. You know, those are things that we definitely can say, yes, there is some movement going on. California is one of those states that's been hit so hard because they have such an incredible need for more housing. It really has created sort of a have and have not community in that state. So, you know, there is some things that are moving forward in a positive direction. And, you know, in my job, I have to continue to be optimistic to keep fighting for another day. That battle never ends.
Exactly. So on the state and local side, what are some of the policies that NAA is tracking around the country?
Well, you know, rent control continues to be something that's popping up again and again. You know, we've been watching what's going on in Boston and Connecticut. There's communities in Maryland that are looking at rent control or having discussions around it, and we're working with our state and local affiliates to make sure that we're successful in bringing other options to the table. You know, on the brighter side, Montana's considering a statewide rent control preemption, and we managed to get a preemption through in Ohio last year as a result of some conversation around housing issues. I think it's redirecting the conversation away from policies like rent control that would cripple the industry and never allow us to provide the housing that is needed and get the momentum going in a more positive direction. But I've seen information from focus groups and having conversations with voters. They don't like the idea of rent control, but we need to provide them other options and so they can go in that direction. So I think that continues to be a process, but we'll continue to work on this around the country because it's such a critical issue.
You know, on all the issues that are out there that affect multifamily, how do you recommend that multifamily industry folks can get involved, share their voice, and make a difference with these issues?
You know, I would say you need to focus and pay attention to what organizations like the National Apartment Association is saying. I mean, we have 95,000 member companies across the country and millions of employees out there. But yet when we send out a alert, if we get 20% of the people to open those emails, we're successful. And I think that we just need to have a greater awareness that these are things that not just the heads of the companies and the investors, but everybody needs to pay attention to. You know, previous to the pandemic, if we were to do a mobilization on a given issue and we had 1,200 or 1,000 people respond, that was considered to be a good response when the other side is having a far larger number. Through the pandemic, we had 24 and 25,000 people responding when we had asked. We need to keep that level of focus on the legislative issues that are impacting this industry so we can be successful going forward. Because, as I've said many times, I'm less concerned about a long-term economic condition that could hamper this industry and more concerned about regulation that could limit the viability of rental housing as an industry.
Yeah, it's very important. We've got about 6 minutes left in this segment. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot about when I have guests on the show that they want to talk about, it seems like maybe the pandemic accelerated this issue, but that is application fraud, document forging, using false identities. What does NAA think about this, and what do you recommend?
Well, it's something we've been hearing about increasingly over the last several years. Especially with the sophistication of the ability to these forgers to be successful. I think it's, you know, I think we need to do as much as we can from the standpoint of verification and working with companies out there that can provide third-party verification. We continue to have conversations with policymakers, and not just NAA, but our state and local affiliates all across the country, so they understand the challenges that the industry faces. Because we're running a business, we're trying to get all the information we possibly can, but we also don't want to be in the situation where we are forced to be the identity police. And so we need to really work with state and local governments and the federal government to really play their role as well in policing these perpetrators.
And is there any kind of legislative action that you think could help with this issue?
We continue to watch different packages of legislation and what potentially could move forward. Given the current Congress, where we have the Republicans holding the House and Democrats holding the Senate, we're still trying to figure out what are going to be those common points where they come together in a bipartisan fashion to be able to move forward. And so we're ready at the opportunity to insert legislation around this or language around this in legislation that would give us some relief.
We've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, and I want to ask you about what do you think are the top three challenges that operators in the rental housing industry can expect to experience in this coming year?
I think there's going to be much more scrutiny around screening and screening practices. We're going to have a lot of, we anticipate more conversations with policymakers as people begin to push on the source of income issues. I think that things around notices of adverse action is, again, another area where we're going to see more scrutiny as we move forward. So from the standpoint of risk management as an operator out there, I think risk management is more important than ever to really have conversations with your legal counsel of, you know, it's a road, and you can be on one side of the road, and you're always going to be risking getting in trouble. You can be on the other side where you're completely avoiding from risk, but it may hamper your business operations. And it's finding that place in the middle where there's reasonable risk, where you're caring for the residents, and the business is successful. So I think those are conversations that operators need to have with their staff as well as their legal counsel.
What is NAA doing to further and promote the workforce development to bring talent from other industries? And we're going to talk about this a little bit more, too, in the next segment. But this is such a big topic. Rarely do I have a guest on the show that doesn't say that's one of the challenges that they face every day is finding the right talent, especially when it comes to the maintenance role. What are you seeing?
We continue to work in this area along with other groups out there to try to create awareness of our industry as a career path forward. So many times when I talk to industry leaders and people who are mid-career, it's like, how did you find this industry? And they found it by accident as opposed to by design. And so we continue to push information and work with other organizations like IREM and to work on putting job events together to put together, you know, what is your career path as somebody who's looking at this industry potentially as a career, so they can see themselves growing within the industry. And, you know, we have a regular research. We put out our apartment jobs snapshot, which is a quarterly research publication, which really provides insight that can be used when making decisions from the standpoint of people that are in the C-suite in their companies, but also from the standpoint of somebody who potentially is an employee looking at an area where they might want to go to find a job.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here with this segment. We'll be back with our next segment right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's E-Conserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. I'm talking to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of National Multifamily Industry Rundown. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry leader, the fabulous Bob Pinneker, the president and CEO of the National Apartment Association. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Bob, we talked at the end of the last segment about the workforce development issue, finding talent in the industry. During the break, you mentioned an initiative that you found you were kind of overlapping with in some areas. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was recently at a conference and had a conversation with David Williams, the CEO of Sheltered Shutters, and we were talking about some of the things that they're doing in this space as well. And so we've been having conversations about how we could potentially join forces with them to assist, and other nonprofits that are working in the space of trying to bring people into the industry from the standpoint of a career and jobs. In this case of Shelter to Shutters, they're working with veterans and assisting them in getting up and running to where they could be able to not only work in the industry, but potentially as a result of the fact that, you know, maintenance people, a lot of times we provide housing to them or the option for housing on site, it also houses these people as well. And so that's something that we're always looking at and having conversations with other groups. It's how do we leverage what we have? Because, you know, if somebody else has a better wheel, I'd love to use it, because there's no sense recreating the wheel if we don't have to. There's too much to do and not enough time to do it.
Absolutely, and it's such a major issue that everybody seems to be affecting everybody in all positions that they're looking for. Let's talk a little bit more. One of the first segments, you talked a little bit about the recession. How do you think it's going to affect multifamily? What are your concerns?
Well, you know, for the seasoned operators, the people who have been through these cycles, this is not their first rodeo, and so they are going to be able to ride this just fine. I think that for newer operators, people that are more recently into the space, investors, I think it's really about, you know, a back-to-basic approach of what are the things you're doing in your operations to make sure that you're successful. You know, it's that whole adage, pennies make dollars. I mean, that this is an industry that is so true in. And so from the standpoint of the industry, because I know there's a lot of doom and gloom out there, and then it gets a little better, and then it's back to doom and gloom, I still say keep focused on on your knitting, keep things moving forward, look at what the opportunities are for savings. You know, I anticipate there probably will, with every cycle, there'll probably be a little bit of a pullback with regards to discretionary spending where possible. But let's face it, you can't do that for more than, say, 12 to 18 months, and then you have to go back out and start doing that spending again. We may see some of that. But I think there's also a lot of operators that have been seeing this coming for a while. I mean, 2 years ago, I remember going to a meeting and having a conversation with a roundtable group, and at that point in time, people were putting money away, keeping their powder dry from the standpoint of riding out what could be an economic recession, but also to be ready to take advantage of those opportunities that pop up in every cycle like this.
Yeah, and a lot of people either make it or break it when these cycles come into play.
Well, this is not 1986. I think the majority of us will get through it just fine.
I agree. One of the big topics that everybody has been talking about in recent months has been inflation. And I know that NAA began issuing a inflation tracker data report a few years ago. What is the latest with it? What's it telling us?
It continues to track. I think it's primarily upbeat about the industry because I think we're going in the right direction. But it's looking at a number of different factors out there. I mean, in the January report, it talked about the headline was, you know, CPI was at 6.4%. There was a report that came out just today that was looking at numbers, and there was anticipation that it was going to fall, but it didn't fall as much as people had anticipated. I think that from the standpoint of the tracker people I've talked to out there, it's been very valuable from the standpoint of seeing what's going on and being able to quickly, in a glance, digest reams of information that we've combed through to bring that resource to the industry. So I think from the standpoint of the tracker, it's been very successful. I look forward to a point in time in the future where we don't have to do it anymore because inflation is not a problem. But I think we may have at least another year of this product on the market.
And along with inflation, one of the other issues we've heard a lot about are supply chain issues. What have you heard about that as far as it easing, and how has it hit the industry?
You know, it's had different effects as it's sort of rode through the industry. You know, we all saw the headlines about lumber and the increases in lumber costs. That seems to have calmed down a bit. Access to things like appliances for new construction. There was a operator that was trying to get a building open in Houston, had to go to every Home Depot in town to try to get as many refrigerators and dishwashers as possible to be able to open the property and get the occupancy permit. I think that the fallout from that that I've heard is that while they've begun to be able to get the appliances they want, with the finishes they want, there have been some issues around production quality and then dealing with warranties and taking care of the pieces. And in having conversations with some of our supplier members, and they've been talking with the manufacturers, is you have whole production lines that needed to start up all over again. And so there's the outfall of the quality control issues. So it's interesting. It's not a situation in which it's just one thing and then it's done. It's sort of the waves of effects of this. So it definitely, I think it's out there, but I think it's something we're moving through.
Yeah, and you know, I can remember having a guest in the height of the supply chain issue when it first was really, really bad, and they couldn't get appliances, and they were taking appliances out of vacant units that were under construction and putting them in other units where they had a move-in, and it was just really causing havoc at that time. It seems like it's eased up quite a bit right now.
I think it has eased up quite a bit. I'm not hearing about people, reserving storage spaces to store appliances, whether they be new or used. I think that things are starting to move, but like I said, then we're dealing with the quality control issues, which I'm confident will probably be resolved in the not-too-distant future.
All All right. And then also when it comes to construction, what are you seeing? We talked a little bit about the lumber prices and so forth, but has construction picked up to the point of where it should be now that those prices are lower, or do you think it's still got a little ways to go?
Well, I think the uncertainty of the economic cycle that we're in right now is impacting new starts. I think the projects that are in the pipeline, they're moving forward. If there's money, the money is required in the project, a new project to start, I think they're moving forward. But what I've heard in talking with people, while the cost of lumber has gone down, cost of labor continues to be an important issue. And just access to laborers to be able to work and subcontractors to be able to deliver on the timelines you're supposed to be delivering, which all goes back to increased costs for construction. But that is a constant battle on the construction side.
All right, well, we are going to break it here, and we will be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of a national multifamily industry rundown. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry leader, the awesome Bob Pinneger, the president and CEO of the National Apartment Association. So, Bob, we talked a little bit previously about the issues that almost everybody I speak to in multifamily is facing with staffing and finding talent. I know during the break you mentioned that you've got something that's on the books coming up to potentially get people together to discuss things like that. What is that?
Well, it's a new conference that we're putting together, and it's called Cultivate. And the idea is that it's going to be based on what are the topics that are really important to the industry. And, staffing, finding talent, retaining talent, keeping talent engaged, I mean, that is at the top of minds of many executives. And so we created this retreat-style conference, and it's we're going to bring in speakers, but we're also going to have working sessions where the participants can actually work with their peers to really come up with solutions. And so the idea is we want people that come to this Cultivate conference to be able to go back to their respective companies with three or four good ideas that they can implement. And the intention there is, you know, we'll use the brain power of everybody that's there to be able to solve problems. And so that's going to be, it's going to be in Tucson, Arizona, September 27th and 28th. It's the first time we've done a conference like this, but I think it's going to be a good conference. We're limiting the size because in a retreat style event, you want to keep it where it's still, where people can talk to each other. So it's not going to be like compartmentalized by any means, but hopefully we're going to have some really good ideas that come out of it.
Fantastic. And so if someone wanted to find out if they could get involved, they can go to the website and
They'll go to the website, go to upcoming events, and Cultivate's right there.
All right, perfect. Also, I know that advocacy is something that obviously NAA does so well. You got something coming up for advocacy as well. What is that?
Yeah, we have our annual advocate conference, which will be here in D.C. on March 28th and 29th, and it's looking like it's going to be a historic attendance levels, which is good because we have a lot of things that we need to have conversations with members of Congress. As we talked earlier, this is a session of Congress where we have divided government, so how do we get points of working together so we can get things through the House and the Senate in a bipartisan manner for signing by the President? Also, we have this resident Bill of Rights that's coming through, and it's educating people on what that means and how they can be involved in the process. And then we have a forum on rent control where we're going to be having conversations of trends and where things are going to keep people informed. You know, this is typically a conference that you have people who are in higher levels in their companies, and they want to know what's going on, and they want to have conversations with their legislatures, members of the Congress. So we're looking forward to this being a great event. I think we're probably going to end up with somewhere over 700 or 800 people at this event
in
March.
And what types of folks from the industry would be coming to that?
It's an interesting cross-section. We have a lot of C-suite executives that come because they want to be aware of what's going on and have conversations with their peers, because it's also a networking event in and of itself. But we also have, we have people that are that next level below at the VP level that are in attendance. And because it's a legislative event, we have our affiliates from across the country are there because they're there with their members and organizing trips to the Hill. And so it's really a cross-section melting pot of the industry, but tends to be people who are really looking at how legislation impacts their bottom line.
All right. I want to get to some other things that NAA's got coming up, but I wanted to ask you one question that I know is on the minds of a lot of people, and that is that over the last 5 years, multifamily has really kind of been the darling of the commercial real estate space. And based on demand and overall performance, is it still? And if not, why, or why is it?
It's funny you say that. I was just at a meeting of the Real Estate Roundtable a couple of weeks ago, and this conversation occurred. And by and large, everybody said that, you know, the multifamily continues to be the bright spot in commercial real estate. There's a lot of people that are nervous about, that hold office portfolios, that are nervous about what happens with the office portfolios. You know, this new hybrid work environment, what does that mean for the office space and what kind of space is going to be required? So I think they're going to go through a period of change. I did hear some conversations about how they figured that they thought that retail was poised for a resurgence because there has been a shedding of a lot of those marginal strip malls and regional malls that just don't make sense anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're in a process of being converted to other uses. The uses they're being converted to generally is multifamily. At least that's true in parts of the country that I've been traveling to and seeing. But I think that multifamily is going to continue to be in the position it has been for the last 10 years. We will continue to see demand. We continue to see capital flow into the market. We're also looking at this new build-to-rent niche, where a lot of institutional capital is looking at that space. And that space is, it's maturing very quickly. I think it has the potential to be similar to student housing in a very short period of time. And we're actually convening some groups around that to understand that space better and understand how we can serve them.
What effect do you think, when you're looking at the different segments of the commercial real estate market, with office taking such a terrible hit in the pandemic, but people were working from home, remote, and still are doing a lot of remote work from home. Did that help the multifamily industry, you think?
I think it helped the multifamily industry tremendously. It also challenged us tremendously as well, because where the apartment community was one that people were there in the evenings and they went to work, they were there 7/24 now, and their expectations and their needs changed. And I think that the industry was very successful in adapting to that change and to providing them what they needed when they needed it. And I think it's created a stronger bond between the residents and the communities in which they live.
What are some of the research projects that NNA is currently working on or plans to be working on?
Well, in addition to the inflation tracker, which we're continuing to work on, we have a quarterly market pulse survey, which tracks supply, demand, occupancy rates, economic forecasts, all the kind of thing that operators are looking for as they're trying to keep a pulse on where things are going. I think I touched briefly that we have a job snapshot that we do with our education institute. And, Paula always does a sort of a year recap with looking at research and analysis, sort of an in-depth review of the market. And we're currently now having conversations, given the dynamics of how things are changing in the market and the unknowns of, are there additional research projects that we could do? And so if your listeners have ideas or thoughts on information that they would like to see, we'd be more than happy to gather that information to help us with perhaps developing something that would be a great resource for the industry.
Okay, well, I want to end this segment with you kind of giving us a preview of Apartmentalize. For those who haven't been, it's an unbelievable conference. I have the honor of speaking there again this year, being on a panel of speakers, and it is just a wonderful experience where you really get to absorb a lot of information about the multifamily industry from industry leaders, as well as some of the featured speakers that you guys bring in. So talk a little bit about it. Where is it going to be and when is it, and what can we expect?
Well, it's going to be June 7th through the 9th in Atlanta, which is a great location from the standpoint that 85% of the country is within a two-hour flight of the city of Atlanta. And also the hotel accommodations are very reasonable as compared to some of the other locations that we go to. We're tracking to break last year's record where we had in excess of 11,000 people show up. Yeah, this has been described to me by companies that are there as the Super Bowl of the industry, so everybody comes together for this. So we're going to have the trade show floor, which is going to fill the halls that we have available for us in Atlanta. We have a ton of educational sessions with leaders from across the country, and we go through a process where we solicit information for speakers and for topics, and the best of the best in the industry provides information, and then we have a group of volunteers that vet through it anonymously and select what they think are the best sessions. So that continues to get better and better. Our general session speakers, we have Derek Kiongo, who is going to be the first speaker, I believe. Then we have Lindsey Vaughn, which will be on the second day. And then we have Jason Sudeikis wrapping us up with the speakers on deck. And so we anticipate that it'll be a great event, a great conference, as it usually is. We've been to Atlanta before, and everybody loved Atlanta.
And so we've got a few months to go until June, but registration is open. And I'm assuming that there's still some discounts available on registration up until a certain time. So what do you recommend people do?
My recommendation is go to the website, you know, go to nahq.org and click on the Apartmentalize link. It'll take you to a web page that we have that is set up specifically for the event, and it'll get information on registration, on speakers, on hotels, all that will be there. And the sooner you sign up, which is true, the sooner you sign up, the more reasonable the price is going to be, because we have a series of early bird discounts and incentives to get people to come in. At this point, we are on par with our 2019 registration numbers. Mm. And so it seems like the pandemic is behind us, and people really want to get back together to share information and to grow their networks and to come back re-energized to their jobs.
Yeah, and I was obviously there last year, and it really, there was a lot of electricity in the air because people were able to get back and see each other and face-to-face and go to sessions, as opposed to trying to do some of it remotely and so forth, as everybody was forced to do during the pandemic. So it is back, and I certainly recommend anybody who hasn't been to go, but also if you have been, you know what we're talking about. So, Bob, thank you so much for being on the show. You're welcome back anytime. I look forward to seeing you in Atlanta. And if anybody wants to reach out, how can they reach out to the website?
You know, our website is nahq.org. It has all kinds of information there, which can help people to get information. If they do have any trouble, they can reach out. They can, you know, click on the customer service button. We have live people that are there to help you if you have a question or a concern or something like that. And so we're here, whether it's by email, whether it's through the website, or whether it's by phone. We're here to help you in any way we can.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode. We will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.